Psycho Man.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 434 of the Motorcycle Man podcast. Hey, got another wonderful interview for you. This is going to be a fun one. So joining me today in the V-Twin Cafe is our good friend, author, and motorcyclist Nick Adams. And he joins me today, and we're going to talk about the TV series Long Way Home. But first, the Motorcycle Man podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. Now, they're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So to learn more, get on over to ScorpionUSA.com. And Wild Ass Seats. Look, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, get on over to wild-ass.com and tell the real Craig Johnson you need a cushion for your butt, and you'll get it today. All right. And, of course, Tobacco Motorwear. For the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, and that is Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use the code MOTOMEN. Now, everyone here at the podcast is wearing Tobacco riding jeans and the California riding shirt. I can't tell you how wonderful this stuff is. I wear them for every ride, and I won't ride without them. So your safety is worth it, kids. So get on over to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. All right, now, time for that chat with Nick Adams. All right, boys and girls, welcome to the Motorcycle Man podcast. And joining me all the way from lovely Canada, our good friend and author, motorcycle traveler, adventurer guy, Mr. Nick Adams. Hello, Nick, and welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Ted. It's nice to be back.
It is nice. You've been on the show a great number of times, and I think you're in the running for the lead, actually, of the number of times you've been on the show. Yeah.
But that either shows we enjoy talking to each other.
Yeah,
because we have a hard time getting other people.
Let's call it both. Okay. No, that's not true. Maybe it is. I don't know. But so I asked you to come on the show for a number of reasons. Well, two mainly. A, to say hi, and B, also because as you may or may not know, the Long Way series with Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman just concluded, and they went on another adventure. I'm not going to say their last adventure, but they went on another adventure. And for this particular thing, Ewan and Charlie rode different motorcycles instead of your usual typical BMW GS series, or, you know, like the Livewire they rode last time. They rode some vintage bikes. So I said, there's only one guy that should be on the show to talk about the series, and that is our friend Nick Adams.
That's very nice.
So glad you could be back. What you been up to?
What have I been up to most recently? Well, I went to Newfoundland, as you may have seen.
Yes.
Back in late April, early May, which, as somebody I met on the road there said, you know, who comes to Newfoundland in April on a motorbike? So that's what I was doing for a little while. And then since then, I've been back and been working on getting another motorbike on the road. This one's a 2000, so it's a modern one for me.
Wow.
It's another Moto Guzzi, sort of a GS type bike, sort of semi enduro kind of thing.
Are you expanding your horizons?
I'm just taking opportunities as they arise
and taking up space in the garage.
yeah. Well, it's I don't know if you want me to go into the sad story of
it. Oh, we're always up for stories. But you know what? I tell you, before we get into the story, for those of you out there who do not know who Nick is, Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and yada, yada, yada.
I'm a retired ex-archaeologist who's since about 2008, have been exploring Canada, mostly on my 1972 Moto Guzzi Eldorado. which is now getting a little long in the tooth. But it's still, before I went on this last trip, it had some engine work done, but of course it behaved beautifully in 5,000-6,000 miles, so no problem there. Basically I ride around on my motorbike and I write motorcycle travel books, which I attempt to use to bolster my tiny pension. Make videos. I have a video channel and write a few articles for magazines and online magazines.
All right. So how many books you got out now? You got 9?
Oh, I think it may be 11 now.
11, I'm sorry. 11, yes. That's right. 369. Right, okay, cool. Yeah. Look at that. Should we be expecting another one from you soon?
I'm about 120 pages in.
Oh.
I need another decent, interesting trip to sort of finish it off.
Well, you got Newfoundland you just did.
Well, yeah, that's already done. But
so you need another trip.
I need another trip.
That shouldn't be too hard for you.
No, it's just a case of getting all my ducks in a row, and I'm hoping to take this new bike that I've been working on.
Okay.
So to come back to the story, the guy that used to, who was the leading light in the Ontario Motor Guzzi riders for years, unfortunately had a crash on one of his other bikes and was in hospital for the best part of a year.
Ooh.
But before he had his accident, he'd taken this Moto Guzzi Quota to pieces, done some engine work, rebuilt the gearbox. But it became obvious that he was never going to be able to get around to completing it. So he offered it for sale, and my friend Norm and I sort of snapped it up. And Norm basically put the kit back together, because when we got it, it was just a frame, an engine, and gearbox. And boxes of bits.
It's actually a good-looking bike.
Yeah, it's currently sitting on my trailer, waiting to be driven off to the motorcycle shop to get a safety inspection.
Oh.
So by Tuesday, it should legally be on the road.
Oh, how about that? What color is it?
It's black with sort of red accents.
Oh, yeah. The red is really cool. I like the red looks really good. But you got the black one, so we'll let you slide.
That's cool. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice. All right. So that's your new toy, and that's going to be your next ride, right?
I hope. Yeah. The previous owner had ridden it to the Yukon, so that seems like a good direction for me to head in. But whether that'll actually happen on
the untested motorcycle.
Yeah. Well, what's life if you don't, take a few risks?
Yeah, sure. I guess. Are you going to change out the wheels and put some off-road tires on that?
It's got brand new tires on.
Oh,
okay. Brand new brakes all around. It should be good to go.
How far in the planning of the route are you?
Far of planning?
Yeah. No, I mean, well, okay, let me rephrase that, because I know planning, it has nothing to do in any of this. have you figured out your route?
No, not really. Basically, it's 3 days across Ontario and then however many days across the prairies. And this time I hope to, instead of just sort of racing across the continent, I hope to, divert a little bit and look at a few places I perhaps bypassed in the past.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I'm looking forward to reading that, or listening to it, I should say, in the audiobook, because there will be an audiobook version, I imagine.
Oh, undoubtedly, yeah.
Perfect. All right, so I had you here so we can talk about The Long Way Home, which featured Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman. When you first heard that they were doing another adventure and how they were doing it, what was your initial response? And I'll tell you mine.
My response was great. Good for it, guys. Go for it. a lot of people think you've got to be on a modern or a recent bike in order to go on a decent, lengthy adventure. But sometimes the bikes are the adventure. And, riding the bikes they are riding, a 74 Moto Guzzi and I can't remember the year of Charlie's BMW, but similar age. I think that might have been a 74 as well. I think it's great. Those, bikes like that, they're Stone Age simple. If anything goes wrong, it can be fixed.
Yeah, pretty much with, you know, as I say, baling wire, masking tape, and probably a ball peen hammer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, what were you more excited about? The bikes they were riding or the route they were taking?
A bit of both. You know, obviously I'm interested in the bikes because I like bikes of that vintage.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would have, in a different world, if my bank account was a lot more complete than it is now, it's a route I would have enjoyed taking myself. So it was very enjoyable to watch the whole thing.
I thought, now they started, of course, in England, and then they went down through. It was kind of weird. It was almost like what I like to call a lollipop loop, where they basically start in one place, go out, and then loop around and come right back. I was kind of hoping they would have done something more an open loop, but that didn't quite work out. But yeah, they went across the Netherlands and across the top of Germany, and then boom, right up into Norway and Denmark and Finland, of course. And then came back down through the Baltics, which included Latvia, Poland. Help me if I'm missing anything.
Lithuania, Estonia.
Estonia, right. Then they did Austria. And then they actually retraced some of their steps from the long way round that they did 20 years ago. And eventually coming back through France and finishing it off that way. But let's focus on the bikes now. Now, were you excited? And what were your original thoughts when you learned that they were actually Ewan was going to be taking a Eldorado on this trip?
Well, Ewan's been a Moto Guzzi fanatic since he was a much younger man.
I didn't know that.
He's a load of pictures of him in his what I think must be his 20s on, you know, old model Moto Guzzis. And he's been a consistent spokesman for Moto Guzzi over the years.
Oh, wow. See, I hadn't seen
that. Yeah, and you know, he has an affection for old and rusty machinery.
Judging by the old Volkswagen that we saw him driving in, I was like, yeah, he likes old stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I suspect that looks a lot older on the outside than it does on the inside.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, but when you saw the Eldorado, were you surprised with its condition, or did you think that it looked pretty good?
No, I think it looked fine. I mean, that's just surface stuff.
Yeah.
You've probably seen enough pictures of my bike to know that it's not going to win any concours competitions.
I mean, but you know, it's funny when I first, because I've seen plenty of pictures of your bike, you know, and so when I heard that he was going to be on an Eldorado, I was like, oh, I got to see this. And when I saw it, my first impression was, man, that thing looks really rough. I don't know. This may be a very bad decision on his part.
Well, I think you also have to know that, you know, where they talk about him getting the bike in California and having it looked at by Mo at Cycle Garden, sure, who is sort of one of the legendary figures in the Moto Guzzi world. So, you know, yeah, it looked a little tatty, but you can be sure that the mechanicals inside are robust. You know, they had a few little issues on the road, but in terms of the important parts, nothing broke, nothing went wrong. You know, the gearbox didn't fail, the piston rings didn't shatter. You know, all the important stuff that keeps the bikes rolling was in good shape.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I want to touch on that too. But one of the things that I felt, because they made some modifications to the Moto Guzzi, I don't know that they did anything to the BMW Charlie was riding, but the Eldorado, they took off the center stand, and I don't recall them ever saying why they did that.
Well, knowing those bikes fairly well myself, I suspect it's a combination of things. Possibly he had a bit more weight on the back of that bike than the springs were rated for.
Okay.
And possibly the spring that holds up the center stand wasn't in as good a condition as it should have been. And you combine those two things together with a sharp corner, and it's easy to see how a center stand can start to drag.
How much weight do you think they were carrying in gear?
I don't know what they were carrying. It certainly wasn't as outrageous as on the long way around.
No, certainly not. Of course, they had Dave and Russ in their support vehicles. I'm sure they were providing them with whatever they needed as well.
Yeah. Now,
touching on what we were just talking about, is that Ewan obviously had more trouble with his bike than Charlie did. And is this something you figured might be happening considering you when you found out that he was going to be riding an Eldorado?
No, I don't think so. I think the things that happened were really superficial. Basically, it all boiled down to the silencer blowing out.
Yeah.
That was just an old age thing. That could happen to any bike on the road. It's been sitting around, and you know the internals were obviously rusty,
yeah.
And it just blew the guts out of the exhaust system. And that, you know, as we saw in the film, that was easily fixed by just finding anybody with a welding torch.
It's true, yeah. But I thought it was interesting, though, that multiple times he felt that the bike wasn't running right, something didn't sound right, it was backfiring, and then it was something as simple as just the spark plug wire wasn't seated all the way.
Yep, I understand that perfectly because I know those distributors well. And if those things aren't seated, and I've been stopped at the side of the road on occasion with corrosion where the spark plug wire goes into the distributor cap. You know, it's a place where moisture can get in if you're not careful, and you know, corrosion between metal parts happens. But it's the kind of thing that anybody that rides that kind of bike is probably pretty familiar with and would have it fixed in, 10 minutes at the side of the road.
Oh, does that distributor cap have a rubber seal on it to prevent water and moisture from getting in?
No.
You wonder why?
Well,
I wonder why. It's exposed to the conditions, right? And you would think, hey, well, let's put a rubber seal on here so that no moisture can get in.
Yeah, well, the distributor cap itself, that doesn't have a seal. The seal comes from the wires themselves being a sort of relatively tight fit in the holes in the distributor cap. But, you know, water can migrate.
Yeah, I mean, like where the cap and the base of the distributor come together, there is that little lip, water can sneak its way under there.
Yeah.
What was that final, when they had to have the bike towed that time, where the van came and picked them up because his bike wasn't working right? What was that issue with that? I don't know.
That was just the corrosion on the end of the spark plug wire.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
They had the trouble with it not being pushed in far enough.
Right, there was that.
But then because it hadn't been pushed in far enough, the corrosion had been able to get in, and that's what was made it continue to not work very well.
Now, I was genuinely surprised that Charlie had zero trouble with his BMW on that. Did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, he had trouble starting it, getting off one of the ferries one day.
that one time. But that was it. There really was nothing else. I was really surprised. I certainly expected there to be your typical BMW issues at some point.
I think, you know, if you remember the condition of that bike when it arrived on the trailer to his house, and then when he started riding it, it looked completely different.
Yeah.
I think he'd had some pretty good people looking at it before he set off.
Probably sunk a few bucks into it to make sure it was.
Yeah, I suspect.
Let's talk about the route itself. Okay, do you think they spent enough time with the series? I don't think they did, but I feel like they could have showed us more. Do you think they spent enough time showing us their travels through those countries? Yeah, I mean, I felt it was rushed. Did you come across that way?
A little bit. I guess it's a balancing act. You know, I'm not a filmmaker like that, but I guess you have to.
Nick Adams' YouTube channel? I've seen it.
Yeah. I think they have to balance. On the one hand, they know that there's going to be geeks like me watching it. And on the other hand, you know, the general public are going to be watching it and perhaps are not as interested in some of the things that I might be interested in as they travel. And, you know, they probably set out intending to do a certain number of episodes of a certain length. And I'm sure they had masses amounts of stuff that they couldn't put in and mm-hmm. that they cut out.
Yeah. Well, they were on the road for, what'd they say, 58 days?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Wow. Something like 58 days. And I wonder, because I feel like that there was probably enough footage that they could have shown in each, where they could have, they had 10 episodes. I'm sure they could have gone on for 2 weeks easily. But would that have bored the audience? Well, the motorcycle geeks, no, probably not. But I think that the general public, like you said, may have gotten bored with it after that time.
Yeah.
But yeah. There was, I wanted to see more of those Scandinavian states, you know, Denmark, Finland, and Norway. I wanted to see more of those. Did you think that the trip up to the Arctic Circle, the way they went, was necessary?
If there was one section I didn't think was necessary, it was the trip up to Svalbard.
Yeah.
That just seemed gratuitous to me. But, you know, that was their choice.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
And frankly, if I was up that way and was given the opportunity to go...
why not? Let's go. Sure, absolutely. Did you have a favorite part of the series?
I think just the scenery in Norway, northern Norway.
Well, I'm sure you see similar scenery on your travels through Canada.
It's very different, but I mean, yeah, it's Norway's got a sort of verticality and grandeur that that most of certainly eastern Canada doesn't have. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mountains are a different thing. The once you get into the Rockies and such, like, yeah. It's pretty vertical.
Have you been to any of those Scandinavian states countries?
No.
No.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no.
Nick, you're the world traveler. I would have expected you.
No, I'm afraid not. I've been in France and Germany and Spain and Morocco, but and Greece and Iran and yeah. Anyway, but not never up that way.
No, wow. So, but your favorite part was basically the Scandinavian states as well. I probably that's mine as well. That's what I thought they were. I actually had a great appreciation for when they were in Austria and Switzerland. I thought they were beautiful, and I would have loved to have seen more of their riding through there. There was that one section where there was a lot of switchbacks that they kept showing us previews of, but they never showed us riding on those switchbacks.
In the one in Norway, I think they did.
Yeah.
There was some overhead, some drone footage of them going up.
A little bit. Yeah. Just not enough, you know.
By the way, Ted.
Yeah.
I think given the current political climate and talk of 51st state and such like, you'd better be careful about using the term state when you're talking about other countries.
That was a Freudian slip. No intent was passed on there. That was it. That was just oops. As with the other series, so I want to bring the other series into this as well. I know for me anyway, when the series was over, this little bit of melancholy came over me because I didn't want it to be over. Did you get the same thing on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's always the case when you watch something like that. The fact is those guys are pretty engaging.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole team, not just Ewan and Charlie, come across as people that you wouldn't mind spending time with.
Right.
At least that's the way I feel about it. So, and of course, now having watched long way round, long way down, long way up, and now this one, long way home. Whether it's true or not, you have a sense that you know a little bit about these people.
Yeah.
I mean, I know realistically that's not true, but you have that sense that they're familiar.
Yeah, exactly.
So when they finished, you know, when the production finishes, you go, okay, what's next?
It leaves you wanting more, you know, you want to hear more, you want to see more. But
yeah.
Of the four series, Up, Down, Round, and Home, any one of those your favorites?
Oh, I think the first. The first and the last.
Really?
Yeah. Long Way Down, it was okay. Long Way Up, didn't really catch my interest very much. There were parts that I really enjoyed, but there were too many technical issues with using the electric mics.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, there was a couple things. If you recall, they did have that truck with the solar panels and the generators in it.
Yeah.
And they completely abandoned that thing the very first episode. They just stopped using it because, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. With that, the Long Way Up series, that what disappointed me about that was that their original intent was to go from Ushuaia down to the very bottom to go up to Prudhoe Bay. That was their original intent. And then they truncated it to end in Los Angeles for some publicity thing, which I think kind of ruined it. It made it more of a spectacle and less of an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So that series is my least favorite. Long Way Round by Death definitely was my favorite. And I actually really enjoyed Long Way Down. But Long Way Round, now that was 20 years ago that they did that.
Yeah. I know when you see the footage, when they do cut-ins of footage from that, you're like, my God, you've aged.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching, like, that was 20 years ago? And I was really, really surprised. You know, the world has changed dramatically a lot since then. And I wonder if a trip like that, I mean, people are doing it, but I just wonder if a production like that would even be possible again.
Oh, I think it would. I think, you know, especially if you've got a team of people working out the visas and the passports and such like. I mean, yeah, as you say, there are people traveling around the world all the time on motorbikes, thousands of them. Well, you know, hundreds anyway. you know, it's still possible. I think there have always been places that you have to avoid for various, you know, political reasons or because of the war or whatever.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But, you know, as I think those shows, particularly Long Way Down, demonstrate, you know, people are the same wherever you go, and if you treat them decently, you'll be treated decently yourself.
Exactly. That's true. They toyed with the idea of, if you recall at the very end, they were saying, well, so do this another 20 years from now, do it again. And they both admitted they'd be, well, you know, into their 70s by then.
Yeah. So
exactly. So, I mean, Ted Simon did it. He did it like, he was in his 70s when he, rode around the world again. I don't know that he didn't do it on the same bike, but it was called the Dreaming of Jupiter.
Yeah.
If you can call that. So do you think they're going to do another trip now?
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think perhaps they'll wait 20 years, but I got a feeling they enjoy it. You know, it's a guy's road trip.
Yeah.
You know, they focus on Ewan and Charlie, of course, but, you know, Claudio and the other cameraman and Russ and the other guy whose name Dave. I can't remember right off, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, they're a team, and they're although they don't appear on camera as much as the stars, I think as far as the group of them are concerned, they're just all doing it together.
Right. I was surprised that they opted to use the electric trucks again.
Yeah, I don't know enough about those Rivians to.
They're very good trucks. They're good looking trucks. They're very expensive trucks, but I guess See, when they used it last time, they used it in the Long Way Up series, the infrastructure wasn't available as, I guess, as, I assume as it is now. So their trip around Europe would have been, the infrastructure would have been there and sufficient enough to support them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would love to see them do another series. I just can't imagine what it could possibly be.
I'm sure they have been talking about it, and they'll come up with something. Because I can't believe that they're just going to sort of drift back into not being in the public eye.
No, of course not.
You know, they enjoy riding motorbikes too much, and you know, they got a lot of. I mean, that's the thing that makes the series such a success is their obvious joy of being on the bikes.
Oh yeah.
So I can't imagine. I mean, they'll certainly be riding, but whether they'll be doing it on camera, I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me. Let's put it that way.
I always thought that they should ride from where they live. Of course, they're in the UK, and take it down to Australia.
That's a long way, mate.
Yeah, I don't know that they would do that, but I mean, that would be something interesting for them to do. I would love to see them do another trip, though. That's for definite. That's for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole of the Far East. New Zealand and Australia is untouched country for them.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they headed that way.
So maybe in another 10 years, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. So what's new with you? What's going on?
Well, as I said, I'm getting this bike on the road, hopefully tomorrow.
Right.
Then I hope to be heading out west. Other than that, just piddling around in the garage and writing a few words once in a while.
Mm-hmm. How was your trip to Newfoundland?
Oh, Newfoundland is a wonderful place.
Yeah.
It really is a magical kind of world. It's hard to describe to somebody that hasn't been there why it captures you the way that it does. Because, I mean, it's basically one big slab of rock with trees in the middle, and the coast, you know, and coast all around the outside. But it's full of charm and scenic beauty and very interesting and engaging people.
Well, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, but I imagine it to be very similar to the U.S. state of Maine.
I imagine it could be.
It's got that what's the word I want to use? That nautical North Atlantic coastal. Just toughness about it. That's what I think. At the same time, having just some sort of grace because of the coastline and lighthouses and fishing villages, etc. Would I be off in that?
I haven't been in Maine enough to give an opinion, but if we sort of switch that north a little bit to Nova Scotia, I would say there are some similarities, but Newfoundland has its own identity because the balance of people that settled there is slightly different to elsewhere. And don't forget, it was part of Britain until well into the last century.
Really?
It's only been part of Canada, well, certainly not as old as Canada. I can't remember the dates, but anyway, there's a mixture of people of Irish, Scottish, First Nations, Cornish, Devonshire, you know, a real mix of people. And it has created a unique culture.
Wow. See, now you got me wanting to go to the map and look at it and see where it is in relation to everything. But it sounds like a real captivating ride to go all the way up there. And I'm sure it's probably not going to be the last time you're going to do that, right?
Probably not, no. The thing that it sort of boggles the mind a little bit is it's way out there in the Atlantic.
Yeah, well, the Labrador Sea. But yes, it's way up there. You know what? That's up near Goose Bay, isn't it? Yes, it is. Goose Bay is in Newfoundland. All right.
Well, it's in Labrador, but yeah, Newfoundland and Labrador is is the province name.
Ah. Been to Goose Bay.
Yeah.
Been there. That was a fly through. That was a land, get some lunch, get out.
That was it. Well, you saw it.
Yeah, I did. And I was outside and looking around. All I see is trees.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, it's the coast that's the exciting and interesting part of Newfoundland.
Up there in April.
Yeah.
How was the weather?
It was stinking cold.
And you camped too, didn't you?
I'd camped a couple of times, yeah, two or three times. Wow. And what, camping was fine. You know, it's as long as you got the right gear, it's there's nothing to it. It's just, you know, it's a little chilly when you get up in the morning and you brush the ice off the tent and that kind of thing. But
were you able to have like a little campfire?
I didn't, no.
You didn't? No, really? Is that just that you didn't want to or you couldn't? You weren't allowed to?
Oh, no. No, I could have done it. Just by the time I got myself sorted for the night, it was just time to lie down and go to sleep.
Oh, well, okay. At what point? I have to believe that there isn't a Tim Hortons up there anywhere.
That's not true.
Really? You found one?
Well, there are Tim Hortons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the communities have a Tim Hortons.
No. That's funny because I think in every one of your books you mentioned going to a Tim Hortons.
Yeah. Well, cheap and easy. That's basically what it boils down to.
You know, the funny thing is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Tim Hortons is creeping down into the States.
Yeah.
You seem disappointed.
Oh, no. No, I mean, if they can make it go, fine. Good for them.
I mean, I've seen two, one in upstate New York, and where did I see another one? It was actually, I think it was in Virginia. Might have been in Virginia. But yeah, they're creeping down here. But that's awesome. But yeah, I look forward to reading or hearing the audiobook version of this new book and your travels on this new motorcycle. You don't give your motorcycles names, do you?
No, don't generally do.
No? No particular desire to do so?
No, and I don't have some little doll stuck on the handlebar.
You don't? So. No, come on. Yeah, it's what we call a mojo. You got to have a little mojo on your bike.
No, it's funny. I've never been inclined to do that.
Oh, really?
But, you know, if it works for other people, go for it.
You know, it's funny because I have, and I'm sure maybe you've seen it, I have a little Woody, the plush doll on my motorcycle, and everybody knows it's Woody, right? And I made no mention of it in my book. I don't know why, but I never made any mention of it. But yeah, that's you got to do something like that, just for so people can ask you about it. This is something to talk about.
Yeah, I suppose. I'll give it some thought. Well, for about 30 seconds.
So when you going to have your new book out?
Oh, I guess it'll be by the fall, probably.
So just in time for Christmas, right?
Yeah, maybe. Good.
Excellent. Look forward to that. So how can people learn more about Nick Adams, the motorcycle guy?
Well, if they go to Amazon or Audible and just type in Nick Adams motorcycle, that'll usually find me with far more than you might want. Or you could use the same search term on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
Just Nick Adams motorcycle, and that or Nick Adams Motor Goods might be an easier way. But just don't confuse me with there's a guy that writes political stuff.
Yeah, there's another Nick Adams dude out there.
Yeah, I know. That is not me.
I remember the first time I looked up Nick Adams, and I was like, that's not him. That doesn't look like the guy. But
no.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I really look forward to your stuff. Any final closing words before we pull the plug?
No, I'm just... I'm always happy to talk to you, Ted, and I enjoyed the Long Way Home series, and let's hope they come up with something again.
Hopefully. So if you have not seen Long Way Home, starring Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman, Make sure you check that out. Even if you're not into motorcycles, it's a wonderful journey about two good friends who go out on this wonderful adventure that every dude on the planet would love to do. Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. Nick, thank you very much for joining me. I greatly appreciate it. And we'll talk again.
My pleasure, Ted. Thanks.
The Motorcycle Man Podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. If you would like to help and be a part of something that actually makes a difference, donate today to David's Dream and Believe in Cancer Foundation. Go to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate. Links will also be in the show notes. And the Gold Star Round Foundation, helping families of fallen soldiers and making a difference in the lives of those left behind. So if you'd like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, go to goldstarride.org and learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. Hey, thanks for joining me and author Nick Adams here in the V-Twin Cafe, where we talked about the series Long Way Home with Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman. Now, you can learn more about Nick by getting over to nickadamswriting.com. Links will be in the show notes. And you can also check out Long Way Round or Long Way Home on the internet, and you get all the information about that as well. Of course, all these links will be in the show notes and, of course, on the Motorcycle Men website at motomenpc.com. Hey, don't forget, get on over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel. Watch some of the many videos I have there. I know it's been a while since there's been one. It's been ungodly hot here in North Carolina, so riding has been a bit difficult, but other things are going on. So do that, and don't forget to like and subscribe those videos. It'd be a tremendous help to the channel and, of course, to the podcast. Hey, listen, get a copy of my book, The Road Most Traveled, now direct from me, on the Motorcycle Men website and save nearly $8. Of course, it's still available on Amazon if you want to get it from there, and the audiobook is still available there on Audible, but you can still get it from me, and if you want, I can even sign it for you. All right. Hey, for the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thanks for listening, and remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to. Ride safely.